the bald giant's fist was a battering ram. As it flew toward Kuno Massey's face, it grew as large as a wheel hub in the young freighter's eyes. It glowed like solid brass in the sunlight hammering the dusty prison yard. Black hair curled against the bulging knuckles. Grease and grime lay like mud chinking beneath the clamshell-thick thumbnail. Kuno had fainted left when he should have fainted right, feet spread, hips pivoting. He was caught off balance. Then the world went dark. Warm blood oozed across Kuno's cheeks and dribbled into the corners of his mouth. It was thick as molasses, but it tasted like copper. He shuffled a half dozen feet straight back. For fight day, the prisoners were released from their cells to view the proceedings in a roped-off arena in the prison's main yard. Nearer to the fight were guards wielding sawed-off shotguns, making sure there weren't any interruptions. There were damn few of those, as the bald giant's reputation as a bare-knuckle fighter was second to none at the Arkansas River Federal Penitentiary outside Limon, Colorado Territory. Somehow, though blood continued to dribble from his nostrils, and the yard with its buffeting American flag and roofed guard towers and three-tiered cell barracks pitched wildly around him, Kuno managed to set his feet in the finely churned dust. He did not fall. The bald giant, with a mustache as large and sweeping as a raven's wing, narrowed his hawkish yellow eyes in amusement. Amusement turned to resolve as, clenched fists raised, he grinned confidently and sidestepped forward, the muscles in his massive chest and belly ridging and writhing like snakes beneath sweat-slick skin tanned to the golden brown of a roasted chicken. Like Kuno, Mule Zimmerman was clad in only the black and white prison pajama bottoms that dropped like knickers to just below his knees. His feet were bare.
You should have gone down, kid. Should have gone down and stayed down.
Zimmerman winked tauntingly, bobbing and weaving, moving his fists, poising himself for the final blow.
Might have gone easier for you if you'd just passed out. This way, see? Since the warden's looking on and all, I'm gonna have to kill you.
He jabbed his left fist. It was a weak punch, meant only to drive Kuno's face into the big man's right. It didn't work. A red haze had bled down over Kuno's eyes when he realized the gravity of his situation. And, flicking a glance to the second story of the barracks on his left, he saw the smugly smiling countenance of Warden Henry Castle, flanked by two beefy guards in their tobacco-brown uniforms, holding Henry repeaters up high across their chests. In his straw boater, bow tie, and shiny black brogans, and holding a braided rawhide quirt over the rail before him, he was leaning there like some Tony Cad admiring the girls as they passed in their summer weight frocks. Castle resembled a smaller, dapper version of Mule Zimmerman. His face was waxy, his mustache polished to sharp ends that swept upward, around, and to either side of his pale, slender nose. His teeth were large and white beneath his curled upper lip. Kuno set his jaws. His eyes dulled with a cornered animal's decisive fury as he stared at Zimmerman, who stood 2 inches taller than Kuno's 5'10", and a good 30 pounds heavier than his own lean 200. Just as the big man's fist flew toward Kuno's nose once more, his yellow eyes softening with shrewd confidence, Kuno ducked. The fist slashed the air over Kuno's head. Kuno hammered the big man's hard belly once with each fist.
Oh, shit.
As Zimmerman started to raise his hands for another attack, Kuno used his quickness to his best advantage. He brought his own large fist up and hammered away at the big man's cheeks and jaws. Zimmerman swayed, then fell on his back. From one of the guard towers, someone turned a Gatling gun on its swivel base. This was a decisive time for the guards. In the wake of the weekly bare-knuckle matches, almost always fought to the death on the warden's orders to temporarily relieve the man of the boredom of his lowly station at this remote federal outpost when he believed he was worthy of so much more, riots were always a threat. Kuno stared down at Zimmerman. The man was all blood, sweat, and dust. Only the top of his bald pate appeared unmarred and unstained. His blood-sodden mustache was stretched wide, showing yellow, crooked teeth, also stained with blood, dribbling down from his nose. His eyes were pinched down to little diamond chips of misery as he stared, seemingly sightless, up past Kuno toward the brassy Colorado sky. In the sudden, funereal silence of the prison yard, the giant set his big hands palm down against the ground and lifted his head, trying to rise. He couldn't even lift his back. Then he collapsed, causing more dust to waft up around him. Kuno turned his battered head, rubbed blood and sweat from the corner of his right eye. The warden's bowie knife, with its ivory-gripped handle, protruded from the clay-colored dust at an angle. The glistening steel blade had been stropped to a razor edge. Kuno shifted his gaze to the balcony of the nearest brick barrack. The warden stood there, wrists and ankles casually crossed.
Finish him.
Kuno glanced at the big knife again, wondering how many throats that steel had slit here in the prison yard. So many, he knew, that the desert sand around this area of the yard was dark red with the spilled blood of fallen fighters. Some likely had no business fighting. They hadn't been trained for it. Warden Castle didn't care. He chose his entertainment according to whim, like a perverted moron snickering as he chose which rats to feed to his pet diamondback.
I said finish him!
Kuno looked at Mule Zimmerman, lying at his feet, and shook his head.
You want him dead? You come down here and finish him yourself.
Fire blazed in the warden's eyes as he scowled down at Kuno for a full 15 seconds. Several of the guards, holding their shotguns high, swung low, ominous glances at Kuno, quirking their lips with the expectation of more entertainment. Kuno held the warden's stare, but he could feel the Gatling guns boring hot spots into his sweating body, imagining the fingers of the eager guards twitching and drawing taut against triggers. They were likely flicking glances at the warden, awaiting Castle's deadly signal.
Shackle him! Shackle both of them and haul them down to the pit!
The other prisoners turning knowing glances at each other, some scowling, some grinning at the prospect of two of their brethren being sent to the warden's notorious pit deep under the prison. Few men emerged alive from the place. When some did manage to keep breaths in their bodies and make it out of that deep, stony, rat and snake-infested hole, it was only to be led off to the prison gallows on the other side of the yard, beyond the three-deep cell barracks. That was their last long walk, the few feet from the heavy timbered door to the pit on over to the gallows 50 yards away. Not all that long. But in the 3 months Kuno had been here, sentenced to life for killing four deputy U.S. Marshals, he imagined quite a few lifetimes would pass during the walk.
Today, the pit. Tomorrow, they'll be hung with the others.